Hello and welcome to this week's message from Michelle Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
God is all-knowing, therefore I am fully known. God is all-present, therefore I am never alone. God is peace, therefore I can know rest. God is creator of all, therefore he can supply my needs. God is all-powerful, therefore I can face every fear. God is eternal, therefore I can walk confidently into the future with my head held high and my hand in his. You know, we're going to spend a minute just pondering those things. Because I believe that all of mankind, you and I, those we live with, the girl next door, the girl you meet at the school gate, you know, your friend in college, in uni, the person that you kind of bypass in Asda, that we all fundamentally want and need all these six things. We all need to be known. We need to be in relationship, to be understood. We need to know rest and peace in our lives. We have needs that we need to be met. We have fears that actually we face. And we all want to walk confidently into our future. So I want us to have a look at these six things this morning and just to kind of live in them for a little bit and just to remind ourselves of actually what God says about them and actually to let them go from our heads to our hearts. Because we can hear something and we can ponder it, but it's actually, we want it to go to our hearts, because to get from your head to your heart, you kind of have to live in it. You have to let it settle on you. And so this morning, I want us to just go through these really dead simple. It's really not a complicated message, but phrase by phrase, just to allow the words to really sink into our hearts as to who God is and who that makes us to be. So I'm going to start off by just going point one. God is all-knowing, therefore I'm fully known. God is all-knowing, therefore I am fully known. And King David wrote an amazing psalm, which I absolutely love. And I've fallen in love with the Passion Translation, which is this, I've got a paper version. A lot of you have got it on the YouVersion app, but it's only like half the Bible. So it's a little weird because the psalms are at the back. And then, it's really hard finding places because they're all in the wrong place because they're kind of not where you expect them to be because half the Bible's not been translated yet. So it's brand new. So if you want to get something that's brand new and it just speaks of the love of God all the way through it, it's absolutely amazing. And I love the way that it has been translated. So we're going to start there. So if you're wondering what I'm reading from, it's what it is. So Psalm 139, verses 1 to 4 says this. It says, Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul. And you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book. And you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. Do you know God knows you? He understands you. He knows not only what you do, but he knows what you think. It says in verse 3, he is intimately aware of me. I just love that thought. God knows when I'm happy. Whatever my face looks like, God knows what's going on in here. He knows when I'm happy. He knows when I'm sad. He knows when I'm anxious about things. He knows when I'm grieving. He knows when the kids are being a pain in the neck. You know, he knows when I'm having a really hard day, when I feel like I'm going crazy because everything around me just seems a little bit nuts. You know, he knows when I'm not getting on with my husband. You know, I mean, no one ever else knows that because obviously we never tell anyone those things, do we? Maybe we do sometimes. Like, come on, I'm not the only person, right? Yeah, we need friends. They, I'm sure, go and like have a bit of a moan about us from time to time. But, you know, bless you. You are not only the only man in here. There are other men too. There's a couple at the back. He's awesome. I love that my husband's here. But, you know, God knows all of those things. And there's a name, the most common name in the Old Testament that describes God is Yahweh. And also called Jehovah is translated. And what Jehovah means is the existing one, the one who is. And if you look back into the Hebrew meaning, it talks about how the word is actually to become and to become known. And I just love that not only God does God know you, but he actually wants you to know him. And I love that God's name means that. It's not, you know, like people in church, they kind of, you can go to church all your life and never actually know God. You know, you can sit here in this conference and you can leave at the end and go, that was nice, but you don't necessarily know God. But God is saying all the way through the Bible, I want you to know me. He's saying, I want you to know me, because he knows that when you know him, that actually you'll know who you are, who you've been made to be, and you'll know who you've been empowered to be. And I just love that God's name just means that. How beautiful is that? You know, and I wonder whether you wish you had someone that knew you that well. You know, do you wish you had a friend who really knows you, who really understands you? Someone who knows all your secrets and still loves you. You know, all of us desire that kind of friendship. And we look for it in many ways. We look for it in a girlfriend's, and we look for it in marriage partners. We look for it in those kind of relationships. But you know, it doesn't matter where you seek it. No one can ever really be that person. Because at the end of the day, we're all human. And actually, we all let people down. And people are going to let us down. Only God. Only God will never let you down. Because he already knows your secrets. You know, I love that. God knows. He knows the stuff that you're trying to hide from other people. He knows the stuff that's under the surface that you feel really uncomfortable if anyone actually knew. But you know what? God knows. And he loves you. God knows what is going on in your head right now. The thing that maybe, you know, your past. Maybe it's your past. Maybe it's some stuff that's happened. And you're kind of going like, oh, if only they knew. But God knows. And God says that I love you. He says, I know you and I want you to know me. He knows you intimately and he wants you to know him intimately. Secondly, God is all present. God is all present. Therefore, I am never alone. God is all present. Therefore, I am never alone. And Psalm 139, we'll skip to verse 7, says, where could I go from your spirit? Where could I run and hide from your face? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you're there too. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, what an amazing picture, eh? Then you're there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, there you're waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me. For your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. Bringing light into my night. There is no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as the day. There's no difference between the two. You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it, how thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully, shaping me from nothing to something. What a beautiful picture. You saw who you created me to be before I even became me. Before I had even seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Every single moment you are thinking of me. Wow. Every single moment God is thinking of you, ladies. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desires towards me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. When I awake each morning, you're still with me. You know, what a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture of the fact that we're never alone. You know, I don't know how you feel when you go home, but God is present wherever you go. You can't outrun him. You can't, you know, at one end of the day, he's there. He's there at the other end of the day. Whatever you do, whatever you think, whatever you say, God is there. God saw you as you were formed. He saw you before you came to be. He is here and present in the moment. You know, we can, as women, we can be so busy in our heads that we actually fail to be in the moment. You know, and you can go and you can, you know, mindfulness is such a huge thing at the minute, and people are talking about it all the time because we get so keyed up in our heads that our bodies are reacting to things that are going to be happening over there. But actually, God is here in the moment, and God is just saying, come back to the moment. You know, God is with you. God can see what you see. He can smell what you smell. He can feel how you feel. He can even hear your heart beating. You know those moments where your heart starts to go and you're going like, what's happening? My heart. And God can feel how you are feeling. He knows you. He understands you. He can hear the raindrops as they kind of come on the roof, you know? He can feel the warmth of the lights and the fire. God is present. He's that present with you. And he's here and he's present right now. And you know, the gorgeous thing is that he'll be here and present with you the day after tomorrow. And those days that you're thinking about in the future, then God will be here and present with you in those too. Thirdly, God is peace. God is peace, therefore I can know rest. You know, in the Old Testament, in Judges chapter 6, verse 24, Gideon says, Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. You know, peace was a greeting all the way through the Bible, and even today Jews still greet each other with shalom. They still greet. What a lovely greeting. You know, the peace of God on you. What an amazing thought. And it was a greeting of angels as well. God would, you know, send an angel to someone, and they would often say, which you can understand because it'd be a bit freaky, right, if an angel came to you. And they would often say, peace be with you. But this is because God is a God of peace, Jehovah Shalom. And you and I today can know this peace because Jesus himself said, my peace I give you. My peace I live with you. We can know the peace of God today when we come to him. When we turn our eyes to God, when we stay in the moment with him, we can know peace. It's a promise. You know, it's not a, I wonder if it'll happen. God promises. It says in the Psalms, you know, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. It says God isn't hiding from us. You know, when we come to God and we seek him, God will be found. And so today, if you need to know the peace of God on your life, you need to know that God is peace, Jehovah Shalom. Really simply, you just come to God. He is your peace. The Psalms are so full of these truths. I love Psalm 71, verse 1 says, Lord, you are my secure shelter. Psalm 59, verse 9 says, Lord, you are my mountain fortress. You set me on high. And another one, Lord, you are my secret hiding place. And Psalm 25, 21 says, Lord, you are my hope, and I trust in you. See, the promise of peace, it's not just about the times when we're away on our own, as Sarah just so beautifully described. I love it when I'm on my own, and it's like, oh, it's so peaceful and so nice. And then someone comes in, and they just say one thing, and you're like, it's not nice anymore. It's not peaceful anymore. I get it, because I'm such an extrovert. Everybody, like, interferes with my feng shui, if that's the right word. I don't know if you're even supposed to say that in church, but yeah, but anyway. You know, it's like, you do know what? It's like everyone interferes with it, because I'm now going like, oh, are they okay? What are they doing? Do they need some help? Because I love people. But you know what? Actually, the peace of God isn't just for those moments. You know, we meet God in those moments, but he gives us peace to take into our life. And the verse in Judges was really fascinating because God had just kind of said to Gideon, the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. It's like, okay, scary. And says, you know, like, I've got something for you to do. And Gideon's going like, no, I'm only little and young and like there's someone else. And then God said, no, it's okay, going to be okay. My peace is going to be with you. And then his next breath, he said, right, I want you to go and tear down all your father's idols. It's like, you know, you go into your parents' house and you take down the thing that's most precious to them because that's what an idol is. The thing we idolize, you know, whatever that might be. And it's like you have to go into that place and take that down. And you know the whole thing that's going to kick off at this point. But God says, I'm your peace. I'm your peace when life's kicking off. I am your peace when life's situation is going crazy. You know, if you come to me and you find my peace, you run to the mountain, you come to the fortress, then you're going to get the peace of God and you're going to take that with you into your situation. Because, you know, as Christians, we're just no use to the world if all we're bothered about is our own little kind of globe area, little, you know, it's like the little, what are the globe things, the snow globes, we always get them. Johnny, who plays the keyboard, loves snow globes. So whenever we go on holiday, we always bring him back a snow globe. It's always his thing he buys, or if we're away, we buy. And it's almost like your peace of God can be a bit like a snow globe. And you're like, in it, it's so pretty and it's snowing on me and it's so nice. But God wants to shatter the glass and to take that feeling, that sense of God's presence out wherever you go. So wherever you're at, whatever challenges you face, whatever troubles you're facing, God wants to breathe shalom over your life. And God's peace is, it's connected into your time with God. You know, we always, like Sarah's already mentioned it, and I preach about it all the time because I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God so much. You know, I just love it. I love the words that kind of jump out at me. I love the promises of God, and I live in it because I love it so much. But you know, if you want the peace of God in your life, get to know the Word of God. Get to know the Word of God, because as you get to know the Word of God, you get to know God, because that's how God reveals himself. So thirdly, God is peace. Therefore, I can know rest. Fourthly, God is creator of all. Therefore, he can supply my needs. God is creator of all. Therefore, he can supply my needs. And the names of God that reveal this part of his nature, there's two that I love, and another one I'm going to mention in a bit. The first one is Elohim, which is judge and creator. It's one who can create from nothing. You know, ex nihilo, it's like there's nothing here, and yet God created everything. And you can't, like, imagine that picture. But then the second one, and this is just so beautiful, El Shaddai. El Shaddai means God Almighty. God Almighty, all-sufficient one. My satisfaction. El Shaddai says God is enough. You know, he was enough for Abraham. This name of God was used when Abraham was 99 years old, had no children, and God made a promise over him that he was going to be a father of a great nation. And that's this whole idea of El Shaddai. El Shaddai says, I can do that. El Shaddai says, you know, when Joseph's brothers came and they were sent away and their lives kind of almost, they kind of felt their lives were in the balance. The God was El Shaddai in that situation. If you feel like your life is in the balance, God is saying to you, I am enough. He was enough then and he's enough now. When you know that your Father God, creator of all, put the stars in the sky and he knows your name. God, El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, is enough. He knows your name. Joe, Gnomes, Sarah, he knows your names. So you can trust him because he knows you and he loves you. And he has another name. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. You know, if you've got any doubt in God, God says, Jehovah Jireh, I will provide. I had a revelation this week, and I'm a bit daft, okay? It just takes me a while sometimes to get these things into my soul because I prepared this a year ago. So you can forgive me for forgetting, okay? Do you forget things in a year? But I'd had a few nights where I was kind of wrestling with things around the conference and I was sleeping, but not deeply. And I just kept waking up with things going in my head. And, you know, we all do that, right? It's not just me. Okay. And then it was Thursday morning and it was 6 a.m. And it was just in my head and my message was in my head. And then just this name of God, El Shaddai, just sat in my spirit. 6 a.m. in the morning, kind of like slept a little, but, you know, and just the realization that God was my satisfaction, God was my all-sufficient one, just so did it went from my head to my heart, right? It took me till Thursday, confession. But then I went to sleep like that, and I slept like a baby. In fact, I slept. I didn't set my alarm because I usually don't often need to. And Ed actually came in at 7:30 as he was leaving to take the kids to the bus because Abby wanted to say goodbye to me because she was sleeping over at Grandma's. And he was like, are you awake? And I was like, oh my word, I was in such an amazing sleep because I knew God was enough. And it was like he'd kind of said, right, Michelle, I've got it now. You can just rest. And, you know, and I'd love to say I live in that place all the time. And that's I just want to be in that place always. But I just want to let you know, I'm not always. And there's times in life where, you know, I guess I put the barriers up and I think I need to do it. And God just says, I can supply your needs, Michelle. Jehovah Jireh. I'm your satisfaction, El Shaddai. God is all-knowing. God is all-present. God is all-peace. God can supply my needs. Fifthly, God is all-powerful, therefore I can face every fear. I don't need to tell you that fear is real. If you're a woman in this place, you know fear is real. You know, Your heart races, adrenaline pumps around your body, and you are ready for fight or flight. And this is a good thing. But so often as women, we can live in a constant state of fear, of stress. And experts tell us that it's toxic, that it affects our mental health. It affects our bodies, it affects our joints, it affects our nerves, it affects our digestive systems, it affects our emotions, it then begins to affect our families. And although fear is healthy, when the lion is coming at you, it's not a healthy place to live the rest of the time. You know, and you know, if you've got a family, you've got life going on, you know, you might have been in this place, and you know, I've been in this place. That's been a struggle. I've been in this place where things in my life haven't been, and it's taken me a while to realize that actually it's not good, and actually to realize what's going on. And I've read loads of books. You know, if you want some books recommended, I can give you some awesome books. You know, there's an amazing woman out called Dr. Caroline Leaf, who's a neuroscientist, and I just love what she writes, and many other people that kind of talk into this area, because actually most fears are never realized, you know. I did a little bit of research. You know, what percentage of fears ever happen? And some people say up to 99% of fears actually never actually happen. So that's pretty fearful people, I reckon, that are worrying about everything. But the lowest figure, the lowest stat I got was 40%. So even if 40% of the things that we worry about aren't happening, that means we're 40% more stressed about stuff than we need to be. And, you know, fear can really cripple us, and it can take us down. It can make us change what we do. It can make us not believe in ourselves. Fear tells me I'm not enough. It tells me that I can't do it all. It makes me compare. And so often in those moments, we go places in our minds that are not even going to be a reality. But I just want to tell you that God will be with you in those situations. Because God is all powerful, therefore I can face every fear. And you know, in those situations that you go to in your mind, as I said before, God is going to be with you when that happens, if it happens, just as much as he's with you today. And God whispers to you. He whispers to you that he hears you. He whispers to you and he tells you that he loves you. He whispers to you and he promises that he will guide you and keep on guiding you. Matthew 6, verse 34 says, "Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself." Tomorrow will take care of itself. As an aside, dead practical, time management experts actually encourage us to do one thing off our to-do list that we keep putting off. Do you know, because I was listening to a podcast the other day, I can't remember who it was, maybe in Craig Rochelle or... Anyway, one of them, they were talking about kind of how we run our lives. And often they were saying that some people, they did a survey, and some people have things on their to-do list from when they were at high school, and we're talking like proper full-grown adults here, because there's things that they thought they should do that they put off. And we can actually use a lot of energy in looking through our to-do list and thinking, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, and so you write it in again another day. But actually, what they say is if you do one thing off your to-do list that you keep putting off, then actually it will take down your stress levels. Just a little practical tip there. I love that. That's really cool. But God tells us we can do it. God says when we're weak, then we're strong. He can work all things together for good, as Sarah spoke yesterday. His power is made perfect in our weakness. You know, I don't know if you know the power of your mind, but you know, we all know we can stop doing things because we think we can't do them. And that's what fear does. But God is all powerful. He can change the circumstances that you're in, but he can also change you in the middle of your circumstances. Knowing that the God of heaven's armies is on your side changes your perspective and helps you face your fears. And lastly, as the team come up behind me, God is eternal, therefore I can walk confidently into the future with my head held high and my hand in his. El Olam, the God, the eternal God. In John 14, Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. In Revelation 1, he says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. When you understand the eternal nature of God, you walk differently. When you understand the eternal nature of God, you talk differently. I was talking to someone last week who had lost their granddad, and they were sharing just a story from the family. And one of the children in the family, like the I think the grandchildren, the really young ones, were feeling really sad. And they just said, look, I'm going to have to wait 80 odd years to see my granddad. And I just thought, that's what it means to know that God is eternal. Because the kids are sad because actually they've got to wait a little while to go into eternity. And the response of this gorgeous lady was, you know, well, just keep following God. Make sure that, you know, you've got him in the right place and you'll see your granddad. And I love that we can walk confidently into the future when we know that God is our eternal God, because we know that death is not the end. You know, there's more to come. God is eternal. Therefore, I can walk confidently into the future with my head held high and my hand in his. So as I close, there's so much in a name, the names of God. And there are so many more that identify God, that describe him. And you know, if you want to do a Bible study, go to your Bibles and sit in the words, in the names of God, because wow, it's just so amazing. And, you know, because when you know who God is, you know who you are. When you know who God is, you know your heritage. When you know who you are, when you understand and believe what God says about you, it changes how you live because you have a new name. You're a child of God. You're a daughter of the King. You're daughter of El Shaddai, all sufficient one. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. El Elyon, the Lord most high. Jehovah Sabbat, the Lord of hosts. El Olam, the eternal, the everlasting God. Do you know who you are, ladies, this morning? Because that's who you are. You know, you're not a failure. You're not a bad mum. You're not a, you know, all the things that you tell yourselves. You're not that person. You're a child of the King. And God speaks his words over you today. God says, I am all knowing, therefore you are fully known. I am all present, therefore you are never alone. I am peace, therefore you can know rest. I am creator of all, therefore I can supply your needs. I am all powerful, you can face every fear. I am eternal, therefore you can walk confidently into the future with your head held high and your hand in mine.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.